CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to my podcast. This is Rosie Muthen and this is Pan African Connect, where we talk about my three passions in life. And of course, that is woman, Africa, and the arts. Today, we're returning to people who are epitomizing and celebrating our beautiful bodies. I have two phenomenal people in studio with me from Curve Loving Online Magazine, which is an optimistic, unrestricted online magazine that inspires healthy living and self-confidence no matter what weight, shape, and size. And in studio, I have Noluthando Nkosi, who is a proud body positive activist, entrepreneur, speaker, and founder of Curve Loving Pty Limited.
Yeah!
You know, and Andy Lekunene, who's the creative strategist and assistant editor at Curve Loving Pty Limited. Guys, welcome.
Thank you very much
for having
us.
Welcome to Cliff Central. Yay. How are we doing on this fine day in Africa?
We are doing very well. Thank you.
It's always a great day in Africa, isn't it? Always.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it always. This is Africa, TIA.
Yes. So let's just go into a little bit of your background. We'll start with you, Thando. I mean, you've done advertising, you've done marketing. Now with this online magazine, how did it all come about?
So this started off as a passion project. Mm. It was just a blog that I started that helped me with my personal, a body love journey.
Yeah.
And once I realized all the people that we were touching, I was like, I can't keep this to myself or just to the people who know about me, you know.
Yeah.
So then I decided to branch out, and then, you know, we then together with Andy created the online magazine.
Yeah.
The blog went on for about 3 years, and the magazine now has been live since the beginning of this year.
That's beautiful. Before I want to get into and talk about some of the topics that you spoke about on your blog.
Mm.
But Andy, how did the synergy happen between the two of you? It's a beautiful synergy.
You know, some things just happen to fall in place, and they fall in place at the right time. I guess it's fated to happen this way, and we balance each other out so much. Plus, we've been friends for a very, very long time. I mean, I met her when I was 13, I believe, and this is a lot of years later. Let's just say
to be on the safe side.
Let's just say it that way. So it was quite simple to plug myself into this, purely because it's really not just a female issue; it's also a male issue, and it speaks to uniting both sexes, and creating a platform where we can engage with each other and perhaps have better relationships because of a better understanding of one another.
Mm. You know, I like what you said, that it isn't just about females, because, you know, when people talk about plus size models, it's always about the female anatomy.
Indeed.
You know,
indeed.
What is your response been from the male side since you've engaged in this?
Wow, the male response is secretive.
I like that.
Because men don't generally want to come out there and say, oh my god, I'm having struggles with my cellulite. You know, because for some reason it's thought to be that men don't have cellulite or body issues or body problems or whatnot, but we struggle just the same.
Or they're not affected by it.
They're not affected by it, you know. And we struggle just the same, you know. We might convince ourselves that, you know, for whatever reason, that no, I'm okay with my belly.
Yeah.
Know? But really, I'm not, maybe at that particular point in time. So the guys come around secretly and pretend that they don't want to partake in the conversation, but they're there.
Yeah, because, well, you know, I mean, if you think about how society portrays it, is that if a guy's got this Mkaba and he's whatever, he's made it big.
You know,
he's driving a big car, he's a big man, and so forth, you know what I mean? And now with men getting more involved in fashion and involved in beauty and the metrosexuals coming about, it's like now suddenly guys are like, okay, wait a minute, I need to start looking a little bit more slimmer, or let me look a little bit sexier. Today on the radio there was this one school that's protesting that the guys are complaining that the school pants are too baggy and they want to wear skinny pants. Mm.
Yes.
You know, and have we moved to onto that level in terms of how men are seeing their bodies and how they're being portrayed in society?
I definitely think they are. I, for one, am struggling with the opposite. I find that there's too much skinny stuff in the stores, and you know, I can't seem to find a regular pair of jeans anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, with with technology being what it is, with the amount of exposure that we are getting with international trends and things like that, it's starting to really permeate through to the younger generations more because they didn't grow up in the era where you were listening to Naughty by Nature and you were wearing really baggy jeans and things like that. They grew up in a place where a hip-hop star is wearing skinny jeans and skinny trousers, skinny shorts, for goodness sake. You know, so it really is becoming a prevalent thought amongst males.
Let's go back to the beginning for your blog. What are the topics were you tackling? And more importantly, you know, I always ask this about women, what was your relationship with your body growing up?
I had the worst relationship with my body. So I was the big girl growing up, you know, in a very skinny world where, I mean, for one, I thought you grew into different sizes, you know. As a teenager, you are this 13 to 14 kind of size. And then only after kids do you gain weight. That was my idea of how a woman evolves. So I found it very unfair that I had the bigger body very early on.
You know,
so you can imagine the battles that I went through. But with time, I realized that I actually was one, not as big as I imagined myself to be.
Especially when you look back at pictures.
Definitely. And you're like,
at that time, I was like, I was so fat. And then you look back and it's like, actually, I was healthy. I was good.
And also genes play a big role in all of this. You know, I've the friends that I've kept along the years have been the tiniest of people. And I'd always compare myself to them, you know. So I was in a very, very bad place until I then decided, you know what? Shut everyone out and just listen to me and look at myself and look at my journey. And for the first time, start looking at your family and see why you look the way you look, for instance, you know. So, I mean, the kind of topics that I'd touch on was, who are you trying to look like?
But that's, of course, influenced by society. It's influenced by the other glossy magazines. And, you know, even the conversations that you have in school or with your parents. And, you know, I remember growing up and when I also, I mean, I developed very, very early and suddenly my school costumes weren't fitting me and things like that, you know.
You stop shopping in the kids section, all of a sudden you're with the, you know, the young women. But I think, I mean, it did take some time. Luckily for me, it happened at a younger age and I was able to then say to myself, Tando, this is you. This is what you look like. And you need to start looking more like yourself. So then I started doing a lot of introspection and figuring out who this person is, you know, and what really matters to me, not just what I'm reading. You know, it's hard. I mean, and it's a journey. It's not like I'm at the destination yet. I don't think you can ever get there.
But at least you've taken that step.
Definitely.
But did you come from a home where you were able to speak about your body yet and be openly expressive about that?
Not necessarily. I think a lot of the things that got me through was my mom was very understanding to the fact that I always felt I'm alienated. So she would always go out of her way to make sure that I look good. You know, for her, she'd always say, oh, this looks good on you, or this, you know. So I found my place in fashion, or it, you know, I knew that no matter how big or small I was, I could always look good, you know. And that's one of the things that my mom did give to me, where she was like,
it's okay,
you're beautiful.
You
know, especially growing up with a sister who was very small, who still is after a child, you know. But her teachings remain in my mind.
And you see, that's also very, very important about the conversations that you're having with our daughters and sons.
Definitely.
About bodies and saying what is very, very true. And I remember reading an article many, many years ago about this woman who's suddenly daughter who was very thin, but she thought she was also very, very big. And she specifically took her daughter to a shopping center and bought a whole lot of the different glossy magazines that her daughter had been reading and said, okay, you see this person in the magazine, where do you see them walking around in the shopping center?
Yes.
Exactly. How do you relate to the two? And it's about those conversations that you're having.
Because that's very important. And, you know, that's a big conversation that we always have, is that why are we not seeing more and more people that we live with, that we interact with?
Yes. Especially in South Africa. Magazines?
Come on.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the biggest things that we've tried to address, is basically changing the narrative. We see the size zero, I believe it's called, all the time, and we don't realize that a lot of it has been photoshopped. So some of the campaigns that we do is we take regular women, take regular pictures, well, really nice regular pictures, and we don't edit them. You know, we put them out just as is, because the more you put out images of regular people
and reality,
and exactly, the more people can actually see it on their social media or whatever sort of media that you're looking at it at, from, and that way you can almost connect with yourself a lot easier and a lot more than you previously did.
And you see, one of the things that was attracted me to your magazine, and I mean, obviously it was the article that you did with Lebo Mashile.
Yes.
But when you go onto the site and you're seeing beautiful big women, you know, I don't want to mention a certain name, but other big clothing brands, all big women are suddenly, even if you're age 12, you suddenly, the clothing is designed to make you look like you're 54.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? Indeed.
Big girls can't be trendy.
Yeah, or big girls can't be sexy. And what I love about the pictures, especially the, I think it's the last campaign that you have on Instagram, where some of the ladies are wearing little tops. I think that is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
You know, how did you source other like-minded women who wanted to be represented that way? And also, I mean, you know, body image, whether you're thin, whether you're skinny, whether you're athletic, there's always that sense of, oh, can I do it?
Well, for one, you see, we one of the strategies was to move away just from speaking to the plus-size girl, because you don't want to then be kicked out of, you know, a group just because now you've lost weight. You know, one of the biggest questions is, if I lose weight, am I still body positive? Self-love and non-body shaming speaks throughout the sizes, you know? And how I connected with these women is, the very same people that saw me doing things, I would then challenge them and say, come and be in this shoot. You know, because you don't need to be a certain somebody to be in it. You know, you just need to be yourself. You need to come just
and
as
be comfortable
you
with
exactly.
you, with yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started having various conversations with all these women, and more women were like, yes, let's do it. And I mean, when the pictures went out, I still get calls now saying, when is the next one? Can we be a part of it? You know? Because people are starting to get into their own.
But also, as Africans, we're now, And Africa as a whole, we're now becoming proud of who we are.
Most definitely.
You know, and because of the rest of the world's realizing, okay, wait a minute, this is one sexy, hot consonant.
Yeah.
We're embracing that as opposed to trying to be like the West. Like when I was growing up, it was like, okay, well, you needed to be a size 32 or 34.
Yes.
And, you know, I remember things like we wearing skinny jeans and they were so tight that my mom used to have to take one of those old coat hangers and pull up the zip, because you can't pull up the zip standing up, you know.
Yeah.
And even then my body was too big and I looked ridiculous and you couldn't walk upstairs, but you did it. Because society said,
you felt
that you needed to fit in.
What
other conversations have you had? I mean, I see that your reading, readership is across, it's not even just in South Africa, it's across the world. What are the other conversations that have come up from what you're doing and from the campaigns you're running?
One of my favorite ones is, you know, going back to what Tuandile was saying with the men, is there's so many men out there who prefer a certain type of woman, but because they have been told that a beautiful woman is of a certain size, that's what they date. But the more conversations you have, we call them closet curve lovers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Those guys are the best. Shout out to the closet curve lovers.
You have conversations with them and it's like, oh, I love this type of woman. And they're very open to tell you what they like. And then you ask them, but who are you dating?
Yeah.
And then it dawns on them that, whoa,
wait a minute,
what's going on?
Yeah.
And this is why in winter you always get that whole big girls are in, and it really, you know, that's a very interesting conversation with men, because women do a lot of things because they think men want certain things, whereas sometimes it's the complete opposite, you know. So you know, it's very important that we have conversations with men to realize.
Yeah, because what you're doing, the thing is, insecurities isn't just based on women. It's insecurities are based on men as well. Correct. You know, and I've had also these conversations with some of my men, male friends who have like, well, when they are dating a young, skinny girl, when it comes to intimacy, they turn off the lights because they're insecure.
Yes.
You know, so along those lines. But I mean, what I also loved that's happening in terms, especially on the fashion scene, and we spoke about this the other day, is that finally, real fuller figure women are making the ramp.
Are walking. I was
before you saw pictures and was like, okay, size 34. And I'm
shout out to
Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week this year.
Yeah. Because that is real.
It is
amazing.
They
did something very, very fantastic this year. It was really incredible how they pulled that off.
Yeah, because every year you get the whole, oh, she's a plus size girl, and yet she's just a 36 or a 34.
Yeah.
And the bigger girls can't relate to that,
you
know. But this year they had a range of sizes. Mm. You know, I think Rav Tang has done the most, you know.
Oh, wow.
I mean, this has been years in the making. I know quite a few people who have tried to cut it.
Mm.
But the fact that it's actually happening,
yeah,
I think is phenomenal.
Yeah, and pushing it out there.
Yeah, see, it's amazing.
It's absolutely beautiful. Okay, let's talk about the actual magazine itself. So you've got different segments. Let's talk about the hangout segment.
The hangout segment is one of our favorites. This is where we hang out with well-known people of the industry. And this is where we really break them down and really speak to the human being behind the name, you know. Mm-hmm. So often we think of celebrities as just that person that we put on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And we take the human out of them, you know. Mm. And the hangout really is to make them human again.
Well, to illuminate rather.
Oh, yeah. To illuminate.
The human aspect of the celebrity.
It's been hidden along the way.
We're not really trying to take it out of them, but, you know, We are so often influenced by celebrities, and we tend to think that they are perfect, and then you try to base your life and model your life around some sort of celebrity that you admire, and forget that this person went to school the same way you did.
Yeah, this person also cried.
This person cried. This person was bullied. Yeah. This person, you know, had all these things that they had to fight through in order to be where they are.
Mm.
And we, you know, just showing that side of someone to our readership, it really does a lot. It does a lot for me personally, because I'm often surprised at the things that I hear from the people we tend to interview.
Mm.
And I really get taken aback and go, wow, you are as human as I am.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm feeling this way, what more are our readers getting from the articles and things like that?
And it just makes this it makes everything so valid, because you see someone who you admire so much and you're like, wow, if you're going through this and you're getting through it, I can do it too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And it actually makes you love the person that much more.
Yep. Yeah.
Because they are not this perfect being that has everything sorted out.
Yeah, all in a row.
There's something so beautiful about seeing someone very open and realizing that this is actually not easy, and it's okay that it's not easy.
And also, I think it's not only just for the person on the street or the public, it's also engaging for other people in the same space.
Yes,
indeed.
You know, because with me being with so many years in the industry, it's nobody's ever come to me and said, okay, how do you love your curves?
Yes.
Yes.
Growing up, it was always like, well, what diet are you on? Yeah. Or when I've lost a lot of weight, oh, we've got to do a cover story and you look great. You look much healthier. Yeah. I was like, okay, well, was I dying before?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And what I loved about the Lebo article and the ones before is that it's embracing it and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that because you are plus size or whatever you want to coin, it doesn't mean that you're unhealthy.
Yeah.
You know, or that you shouldn't love yourself or that you should be ashamed of yourself.
Yeah. Indeed. I mean, that's a big thing that you raise right there, because society has a funny tendency of looking at you and all of a sudden they become doctors and you are unhealthy. Yeah. Oh my God, you're so unhealthy.
And it's like gifts.
Yeah. Like I was at the Plaza a couple of days ago and I was wearing baggy tracksuits and a big coat, and this woman came to me, she was like, oh, I remember you. Your face is still the same, but whoosh! What happened? What are you eating? You must change the menu.
Change the menu.
Yeah.
You know?
And you could literally be eating so much more healthier. You could be exercising more. You could be getting in more sleep. You could just all around be a healthier human being.
Yeah.
It's just that perhaps your body doesn't, you know, react the same way as it would for another person on the same sort of eating plan. And you're the first person to get judged.
Yeah.
But that same person who's judging you grew up in a household where everybody was like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, or not. And there's something that I brought into our household, and it's very difficult because I think everybody in my family body shames.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, we got to stop. We got to move away from that because we've got younger kids. Like, the majority of them are male, are little boys.
Yeah.
But there's so many of them that are going to have this attitude the minute you put on weight, whatever, it's something negative or let's finger point and things like that, you know. And one of the things that's taken away from this from the interview that I did with you is that, you know, there were certain family events that I used to dread because, first of all, okay, so she hasn't had a child. She's not pregnant. She's not married. And she's put on weight.
Oh, the trifecta.
It's like you're doomed.
Yeah.
But because I've literally went on my own journey of self-love and learning to love what I have and the sexiness that I do portray, those things I can now laugh it off.
Yes.
But what advice would you give to young people who haven't reached that level or that crescendo in their life of actually admitting to their beauty and finding it?
One, beauty is not the number on the scale. We are all pushing to be a certain weight. Yeah. And weight on you, we could all weigh 70 kilograms.
Yeah.
We will never ever look the same. Mm. You know, your build determines a lot of things, you know. So you need to, I call it, we live in the world of the cookie cutter girl right now, where in order to be beautiful, you have to have a certain kind of hairstyle. You have to have a certain kind of skin tone, which is very scary.
Yeah, that's another topic.
Yeah, indeed.
And you have to wear a certain kind of clothes, you know.
And a certain way you got to accentuate your body.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, like I come from the era where big bum was a no-no.
Yeah.
Now, everyone's doing squats.
Kim's brought it back.
You have to have a big butt.
And I'm like,
now. But
we've been having this for a long time, black girls, you know.
Black girls have been having big lips, but now Botox is in and we're all pouting. And you know what I mean? So my thing to them would be, who do you look like? How do you look? And then work from there. Do you know what I mean? Like, trying to be someone else is such a waste of the person that you are.
Yeah.
And you need to find who you are and, you know, shine in the corner that you're in.
Mm.
It's so amazing what you can gain.
Yeah. And also just adapt it to your lifestyle. Adapt it to who you are. Don't, you know, not every, there's only one Burang.
Yes.
You know, there's only one Terry Petal.
Yes.
But find
who
avenue.
You are and bring you into the situation, you know, into the scenario.
Let's talk about another segment on the site, and it's about body politics.
Yes.
What does that involve? What does that include?
That's actually my favorite
part
of the entire magazine.
Yeah.
But that's where we debunk a lot of myths. For instance, we've had one about pubic hairs just recently.
Yeah.
We've had articles on eating disorders. And these are hard-hitting facts because a lot of us go through it without realizing it. There's a lot of secret eaters. You think, oh my goodness, why am I gaining weight? I had a salad for breakfast. I had, you know, one boiled egg for lunch, and I had a chicken breast for supper. Why am I gaining all this weight? You forget that you've got 10 chocolates in your bag.
You stopped off at McDonald's and just had like one packet of chips, you know.
A packet of chips and ice cream, you know. And sometimes when you shine a light on things like these, only then do people realize, hang on, I think I'm doing this. I think I'm going down this road. I think every time I look in the mirror, I'm just fatter, even though the scale is going down. You know, and unless somebody says to you, listen, you're going on a very destructive path. You won't notice it until it's too late, until you are laying in a hospital and
you can't breathe.
And you can't breathe. Yeah. You know, and you're completely out of energy every single day. But you're like, but they said if I'm skinnier, I should have...
Be happier.
Yeah, be happier and more energetic and I should be stronger. But I'm not. But you're not because you've been eating popcorn and coffee for the past 3 months trying to lose weight.
And then you can't understand why your hair's falling out or halitosis and all of these other things that are attached
to it. We don't see the amount of struggle that we're going through or the fighting that we're doing with ourselves on a daily until someone says, wait a minute, what you're doing is not healthy.
Yeah.
You know, because you get so used to it that it just becomes a way of life.
Mm. Yeah, indeed.
Secret eating. Most people don't even know that they secret eat, you know.
Because it's become a norm.
Yes.
Also, so. But like a small thing of knowing what type of food to eat for your body type.
Mm. Exactly.
You know, some diets blood say types. you can have baked potatoes or pasta at night, whereas me as a B positive, I mean, that's my absolute weakness. But yes. I know the minute I'm going to eat anything with that starch after 8 p.m., I'm going to put on that weight unless I'm going to go do a jog, which is not going to happen in the evening. You know, let's be honest now.
After a bowl of pasta, let me just...
Oh, no.
You know.
Yeah.
Just had an Alfredo. Let me do a 10K quickly.
Yeah. But it's also the type of foods. You know, people say, and I had this conversation with the aunt, and she's like, yeah, but I eat salads all the time, but I haven't lost weight. I was like, well, what salads are you eating? Now I'm eating pasta salad. I'm eating potato salad. Yeah. You know, I was like, well, that's good. Well,
And salad dressings. Salad dressing is one of the worst things to put in a salad. Mm. Funny enough, it really is just oil and fat.
Yeah.
You know, but we're not here to tell you how to eat or if you should exercise or not. We're purely saying that if you are coming from a place where you are loving yourself, everything else will manifest around that.
Yeah.
Right? So
I like that.
If the result of me loving myself is that I go to gym more often, then great. Mm. And if the result of me going to gym is me losing weight, then great. It becomes just a pure side effect of me loving myself. It's got nothing to do with the outside pressures of the world where I'm feeling like, oh my Lord, I need to lose weight because... Yeah. You know, the average guy is a size 32 or whatever.
Or skinny jeans are in and out.
Or skinny jeans are in, you know. And we have the exact same problems. I personally think that I've got a big butt. And I've struggled with it.
You're talking about it.
You know?
Great, man.
And I've struggled with it. You know, I've struggled with it because I never looked the same way as other guys looked in pants. And it would be a joke.
Yeah.
You know, and I get teased about it. And at some stage, you get over it. You know, I think as a guy, the one thing you learn how to do really quickly initially is to get over stuff.
Yeah.
Because we don't hug and cry and, you know, I show and my support and, by teasing you and I'll tease you until you get over it, you know. And sometimes that's me just trying to be supportive.
Yeah.
You know, granted, at times it can be a tad bit insensitive, but we're guys.
Yeah. But also that brings on to another subject is that we got to get to a point in our life where we have to be able to laugh at ourselves.
Indeed.
You know, and you can't be too hard on yourself and too serious on yourself, you know.
Indeed.
And we're all imperfect beings, you know, and those discussions we should be having with each other and, of course, with our children.
Mm. But this is why we're fervent supporters of self-love.
Yeah.
Once you've got that and
everything you've
accepted
place.
And loved yourself.
Yeah.
Especially the imperfections.
Yeah.
Like we chase perfection, but no one even know what that looks like.
Yeah, precisely.
So you need to be able to say, nis dudla.
So
and it's not
and embrace that in a beautiful way. Yes, yes. Before, I mean, that word,
when
now I'm like, yes,
that.
I am. I've got more to love, baby.
There's an article that's called Fat, What's in the Word? I believe it's called, where I try to probe exactly that word because people are so quick to be comfortable with the term plus size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? But it means exactly the same as fat.
Yeah,
it's just a descriptive word.
Yeah.
Right? Now, how can you be comfortable with plus size? But the minute I say you're fat,
it's a problem.
It's a problem. Yeah.
You think now I'm
you're
being
attacking.
Derogatory and insulting.
Oh, you're sexist.
Oh, this guy is such a misogynist. Yeah.
Oh. Dare you.
And all the English comes out and chauvinist, misogynist,
so true.
All the ists.
And you're just like, okay, you know?
But if I said, oh my Lord, you're so voluptuous.
Then it's
you're like, oh, he's so sweet.
Yeah, he's so sweet. But really, no, I'm not. I just called you fat with a different word.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But what I was trying to do there is take the power away from that word, because we've decided to give it that much power. We can decide to take it away.
Yeah, that's true.
And can live purely as a descriptive word like red.
Yeah.
Or orange.
Yeah, or just there.
I'm fat, yeah. So let's move on.
So be it, yeah. Well, I mean, my attitude to people like, well, what happened? I was like, well, I discovered life.
Yeah.
You know, and this is me, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it hasn't changed my outlook on life or what I believe or what I stand for and so forth.
Yeah.
You see, I love one of the things that actually Celeste and Julie said in one of the hangouts that we had with her is she actually had to sit her family down one December and she said, listen, guys, my weight fluctuates. Okay, so if I'm going to come home every December and you're like, oh my goodness, you're big this year. And next year you're like, oh my goodness, you're small this year. You're going to miss out on my growth. Mm. You're going to miss out on everything that I have learned in the year because you're so focused on what I look like. You know, there's more to me than what I look like. Yeah. So what if I've gained a little weight? Am I happy? Am I okay? Am I healthy? Mm. Those are the questions that you're supposed to be asking or that you're supposed to concern yourself with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If I'm still able to do all of these things, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's carry on.
Yeah.
Let's carry on.
I like that.
Hmm.
What other campaigns have you been running or plan to run over the next couple of months?
We've got a photo shoot next month.
Oh, yay.
which is very, very, very interesting as well. But it literally stems from the original concept of we are all self-love and body positive activists in the sense that we've got smaller girls, you know, and we've got larger girls again. And we try to cover the entire spectrum. We're using more and more women. Mm. And it's just going to go out on a bigger scale.
Good. Because, I mean, what I love about your campaigns, it's not just about, you know, when you put it into the stereotype of the mama down the road. It's women from across the age group.
Mm. Indeed.
From all walks of life. Mm-hmm. Because we're all everywhere.
Mm. Indeed.
You know, which I think is incredibly, incredibly powerful.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so it's because when people look up to, and I mean, obviously when you read about the Celeste or you read about the Lebo Mashilas, people put it up to a pedestal. But when you look at your Instagram page, it's beautiful woman with like glowing smiles.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, and it's real.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised, actually, at the photo shoots, what we've noticed is that the smaller girls seem to be less confident in their bodies than the bigger girls.
Powerful.
Yeah, it's quite scary, really.
It was interesting to witness.
Yeah.
The moment, because, I mean, our photo shoots are also very, I mean, it's girls in underwear and T-shirts.
Yeah.
So the moment you're like, take your clothes off, the bigger girls are like, yes, so where do we go?
You know? It, yeah.
Whereas some of the smaller girls were very touch and go, you know, you needed to then talk them into it.
Mm.
And that for me made us realize even more, you know, the message that needs to continue going out there.
Yeah.
And that, you know, one of the articles was body shaming is not just a big girl thing. It's not a big girl problem. It's you know, all these girls go through all of that. My sister hates being called slender, in as much as Mina back in the day, if you said, yo, Stula, I'd want to punch you.
Yeah.
My sister, she absolutely does not like being told, yo, slender, summer catalog, or whatever case is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always interesting to see both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And the events that you have?
Oh, the events. Absolutely.
The Curve Corners.
The Curve Corner. The Curve Corner is a place where we have these conversations outside of the magazine, where we can actually just engage with the readers in a very direct way. We have one every single month, and the conversations that come out of it, it's incredible. The tears that come out of it,
the growth,
you know. Women tend to build a sisterhood quite quickly at these things because they find something that they identify with in the next person.
Because we never had it growing up.
You needed to be perfect.
Even
your very best friend who you chilled with, you know, you all build this perfection circle where there's certain things we don't talk about. Mm. What is that? You need to be thin. You need to be this. You need to be snatched. You need to be, you know.
Pull yourself together.
What are you doing? What are you thinking? Whereas in the circle, we say, leave your ego at the door, really. Mm. We're here to talk about our issues and how we can grow from them and learn, you know.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, wow, you're not the only person going through this. And you walk out so much stronger because you realize that it's really not that serious.
Yeah.
It's really not that serious.
This and also that you're not alone.
And that you're not alone. You know,
it's and that's the biggest space. Thing.
It's that you're not alone. It's you're feeling the same way. Yeah. You know, whether it's your breast getting bigger. And, you know, I remember when I was still acting on TV and one of the producers called me in because I changed contraceptives and the injection puts on weight. Yeah. You know, and nobody told me that. And I was like, well, I think it could be that. Oh, no, that's nonsense. You're just putting on weight because of what you put in your mouth to swallow. And then, you know, you go into the gym. And you and the psychological and I look back at those pictures and I was actually very, very thin.
Yeah.
You know.
But you just didn't fit the mold.
Yeah. Societal mold.
Mm. Yeah, it's scary. And I think we've got a responsibility as Africa to rewrite this narrative.
Yeah.
You know, there's a billion of us here. Mm. There's you know, so many countries.
And the mold was never
continent.
Meant with us in mind.
Yeah, the mold was
that's
never.
That's what we need to remember.
Yeah, the mold was never created.
But that also opens up the conversation of the decolonizing our mind and let's look at our ancestors and
indeed.
The beauty of who came before us.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You know,
I think there's so much power. With the rise in consciousness about the beauty that exists in Africa, it's going to create a new surge in everything: technology, fashion, mechanics, industrial revolutions. Everything is just gonna take off from this place. And I think one of the biggest ones is media that we need to definitely start. Creating our own media houses so that we can consume our own stories and see our own people much more often than we do.
And celebrate our own history.
Indeed.
That's it.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed.
That's very important.
Who were our kings and queens? Yeah.
Indeed.
You know?
Indeed. Indeed. I think if you know that, you know, somewhere in your heritage, there's greatness.
And everyone has that.
You will strive towards it.
Yeah.
You know, if that's been stripped from you and all you know is, no, my entire family and my ancestors has been useless, you won't
You'll
strive for any.
But it's
sort
also that sense
greatness.
Of pride. So if you
Indeed.
Know about that legacy that was there, you want to pass on the that's next it. Legacy.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. So it's very important that we do celebrate our history. It's a really big
thing. And more importantly, it's the conversations, you know.
Indeed.
As Black people, we grew up in a society where we didn't speak about emotions. It was because it was condemned. Mm. And especially as men and girls and their bodies and, you know, about puberty, about our menstrual cycles. Like, oh, no, it's taboo. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And we need to change that chapter.
Definitely. Of course.
You know,
there's a saying, indoda ikhali fela phakathi, which loosely translates to a man doesn't cry.
Yeah.
He just dies inside.
Yeah.
You know, and... This is one thing you hear growing up. I'm sure everyone in my generation, generations before, have heard this, and it's why are you crying?
Yeah.
Are you a girl?
But to the point where it's impacted girls in the sense that when you see a man cry, you're like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, as opposed to, oh my
Embrace
goodness,
it.
You are being vulnerable. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you trust me that much or whatever the case is. Yeah.
Like, don't run like a girl. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And what is running like a girl?
Well, precisely, you know. So that's another topic altogether. So how will people be able to get hold of you? What's the website address, social media?
We are curve loving across the board, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and the website you find online, www.curveloving.co.za.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you guys. Subscribe on the magazine. It's free.
Yes, it's free.
It's free.
It's free.
But on the topic of monetary, I mean, if a corporate or partnerships, I mean, you're obviously open to sponsorship and that type
of thing.
Yes. I mean, we also do quite a bit of advertising on the magazine that obviously relates to everything that we speak about.
Yeah.
Sponsorship, we take, you know, for the events that we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even for advertising, I mean, we've got quite a large reach on the magazine.
Yeah.
For advertising purposes, you can email sales at curveloving.co.za or info@curveloving.co.za for any sponsorship or advertising queries.
Yeah,
yeah, we'd be glad to speak to anyone who's out there. Yeah,
and of course, I mean, this isn't just something that's an epidemic in South Africa. It's that we need to have these conversations globally.
Definitely.
Indeed.
And so I encourage to my listenership, who, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Australia, whether you wherever you are, if you're having these, I don't want to say issues because issues has got a negative connotation.
Yeah,
but
if you haven't
faced those realities, you're not alone.
That's it.
Go look at their beautiful Instagram page. Look up on the reading. If you want more information, of course, it's all on my social media handles. Rosie Mithena across the board. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and yeah, let's get the conversation talking and let's change that perception of how
Indeed.
We see each other.
That's
and how we think we should be seeing each other.
Yes,
more importantly.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
And we will see. I can't wait for the next campaign. So we're going to follow up on that afterwards.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Of course, it is Rosie Mutheno from Pan African Connect, where I talk about my three passions in life, and that is women, Africa, and the arts. If you have any information or you want to get a little bit more information about Curve Loving, of course, drop me an email, rosie@rosiemutheno.biz, or find me on social media. Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.